All right, so we are heading towards the tail end of Jesus' sermon, right? We're heading to the tail end of Jesus' sermon. And in the middle of October, we're going to take a hiatus. We probably will not finish the last three paragraphs, two, three paragraphs, because we're going to take a hiatus as Brother Arthur Chang and Brother Frank and myself, we're doing a collab, okay? That's a word for the day, collab. Can y'all say collab? Okay, we're gonna have a collab, and we're gonna collab on a discovery of missions. Discovery of missions and God's missionary heart in this class. We're gonna be embarking on that journey. We're gonna I'll be going on, so please pray for that, right? That'll be kicking off on October the 17th. So in just a short couple of weeks, we'll be having Brother Arthur in here kicking off discovering missions and God's missionary heart. I just added that. I'm not sure if Arthur's on. I just kind of made up that title something like that. Franklin, am I on the right track with that title?
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
That was good. All right. So, so anticipate that Frank and I will go as far as we could until the week before the 17th, and then we'll probably, hopefully, be able to wrap up, a couple more, a month or something to wrap up some of them out. We might do some reflection, Franklin. Maybe we should have some some games, even some refresh.
We don't play games in Sunday school.
You do not play games, I'm sorry. Pray for that series though. I think it's gonna be cool. We'll record it, hopefully it'll be good. And anybody, let's market it a little bit, okay? I don't know if Arthur's on. Let me see if Arthur's on. I don't think he really wants me to market it, but I'm gonna market it. We're gonna get a little marketing blurb and just let the church know that we're doing this. So that we'll have more people participate on it. Should be a great series. All right. So let's get some marketing minded people, design people. Milton's a little busy, so I'll ask the other designers in the class. I think Bethany has a little design. Elise can do a little design. Right. Let's get a cool design going to market this class. We get a little blurb, like a little two sentence thing, and it's blasted for people to know about it. All right. Is that cool? I just volunteered several people. All right, good. We'll move forward with that. I'm not playing games in here. We don't play games. Give me a blurb on the website. Yes, blurb. Yes, I will give you a blurb. All right, so teamwork this morning, okay? I'm in a season where I love neon lights for some reason. I'm like super, so all my designs have a neon light element to it. I did that for a youth group too, especially cityscapes. Daniel, are you able, or Nancy, I don't know how to do this, but can you split everybody up into groups of three, and we're going to break up for just 3 minutes. Here's what I want you to think about, okay? Think about the relationships in your life. Everybody think about it right now. Think about the relationships in your life, not yoga meditating, but just my spouse, maybe. I have my friend, my family members, close friends, not so close friends, some people that I just want to avoid, like the plague or like COVID, right? And that could be the new term, right? We use we want to avoid people like the plague, but let's call it I want to avoid people like COVID. Okay, I'm sorry. No, we have to not make jokes, okay? So think about the relationships in your life, good or bad. And for the good ones, think about it right now. What are the top three things you value in those relationships? What do you value? Yeah. In how people interact with you, how they treat you, how they think about that, how they feel about you even makes a difference, right? Think about those. Think of three things. My voice did not cry right now, but think of three things that you just value about these nicer, gooder, I like that. That's where I want the word good. goodest relationship, you know, just what is it? What is it about that? And it really makes it like sink, and you just feel at ease. You're like, man, I love this relationship because boom, boom, boom. What are those three reasons? Now, also, you're going to share in your little group, what are the top three negative things you've experienced with people? Could even be your friend. And you're like, man, because this attribute or this type of interaction, it just really puts a damper on that relationship. It just stings it. It just diminishes the closeness. All right. So break up in a group, and let's do that. If you refuse to break up in a group, we don't hate here. We don't look at specs. Okay. All right. I hear people back. I hear people back. So let us go for this. Okay, top three. Can you see what I'm seeing? Okay, give me some. Give it to me, people. Give me some.
I can't see what you're seeing. Obviously.
Give me some. Give me some words.
We talked about in our group about people should have or try to have the same values and interests and things. If not, that things don't start off well.
Same values. Okay. What else? What else, people? What makes the way people treat you, how they interact with you, how they think about you, how they feel about you? Give me some words. Online, in-house.
Respect. Respect.
Okay. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. No jokes, no laughing. Okay, come on. Let's go.
You said like transparency. Ooh. And loyalty.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Transparency and
loyalty. I think that's a similar one.
So what do you mean by people are transparent?
I think that it's my answer. Be open to them, and
be open and honest. And to be able to talk about what? What do you mean, anything like burgers?
The things you don't really talk to anyone else about.
Oh, okay. To be honest about things, what you don't usually tell everyone. Okay. All right. What else? Yes? No?
Two-way communication.
Or two-way communication. Two-way communication. Anything else? Online?
Listener.
Oh, what kind of listener? Oh, active listener. It's a hard one. I'm gonna find it in me. That's good. I've been working on that for years. Okay. Good.
Love, trust.
Love, trust. Wow, good. Someone who has love. Oops. Okay. I could do this. Love. Someone you can trust. Good. What else? Anything more?
Someone who's active in your life.
Ooh, active in your life. Okay, good. All right. Let's do another.
That's one more thing. I'm sorry. I don't know if it means it was the same thing or not, but reliable. Reliability.
Reliable, yeah. Okay. That makes a good, that makes you value the way they treat you, right? Okay, good. All right, let's go for some of the, let's go into the negative territory, the negativity zone. Okay, let's go to the negativity zone here. Tell me, How are the top three things of some negative attributes? Let's go to negativity zone here. Negativity.
Inconsistency.
Inconsistency.
Mm-hmm. Or inconsistent.
What does that mean?
I mean, the opposite of some of the positive things. Okay. Not reliable, not trustworthy, they're not consistent, like they're late all the time or early, it should be early, always late, or...
You're a fast friend, don't be late.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, what else? Like, what are the things in how people treat you that are just, you know, like, I just really don't appreciate that. I don't like this.
Jealousy.
Oh, jealous people. Like jealous of you or just a jealous person in general?
General, and they try to compare you with them, you know. They try to compare what you have.
Wow. With them. Okay, yeah, sure. Jealous and compares you. What else?
I'm having a real bad one. I mean, it's not the right place to bring this racism.
Oh, sure. Like, I don't know who likes to hang around the racist type people. No.
Self-centered?
Not allowed. Self-centered. Wow, do we know any self-centered people? Okay, what else?
Kevin,
not genuine.
Oh, not. Say what? Not genuine. Explain that. What's
not genuine? Sometimes people are nice to you, but then they want something for themselves.
Right. Okay. So
they're just making use of you for some reason.
Right. Okay.
I have one that like to hurt other people verbally.
Oh, okay. Like to hurt other people verbally. Some people are just want to use that, use words to like strike, right? Okay, good. What else?
I had another one that was really good. Coming into that relationship with assumptions.
Oh, yes. Assuming. What's another word for that? It's like presumptuous, right? Someone who's always presumptuous. Someone who's always making a judgment call before they know the real facts, the real information.
Isn't that another word in itself? Is judgmental, then?
Judgmental, sure. And not judgmental in the way that the Bible says, right? You know, it's you're always, I don't know. Okay, yeah, judgmental. I don't know. For me, like, maybe it's like being critical, like overly critical. You know, I think being critical is like, should be, right? But overly critical. Okay, what else? You know, I think you guys used that word earlier, and I like it, about being an active listener. What do you guys not like about certain people? Like the way they treat you?
Close-minded.
Oh, close-minded, yeah. I was going to add something like, never... Okay, I don't have room for this. Really trying to know you. You know what I mean? I'm saying, like, yeah, I think that goes to that one where Lily said not genuine. Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
There we. Refusal to compromise.
Oh, okay. Yeah, hey, like it. Good stuff. All right, so guess why I went through this little exercise with you guys, okay? I went through this little exercise because then you see what I see? Yeah. believe it or not, we have moved into a part of the text that we often have heard it called. The Bible doesn't call it this, but it's called the golden rule. The golden rule, so it has been called, I think in the 17th century, started being called that. So it wasn't like Jesus says, here's the golden rule. Says, 1, 2, 3. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. And the Matthew 7 as well.
Is this a different translation, Pastor Alex? One I'm always used to hearing is do unto others, if you had others do unto you. It's a little different translation.
Yes, the English Standard Version, the ESV. This is kind of our teaching version at the church. Sometimes I study with the NASB or the original language. This is kind of, but I love to read the NIV, the Message. Last night I preached a lot of the youth from the Passion Translation, which is phenomenal. It's very poetic. If you ever like that type of language, it's very rich. Look at Psalm 139 in the Passion Version, and it will just meditate on that. It will just blow you away. Anyways, so this is the ESV. Any thoughts to this initially besides the translation? We're going to try to end at 10:30, just to be in the habit.
It makes a lot of sense, right? It's quite straightforward. You probably don't want bad things to happen to you. Or people come against you.
Makes sense.
At least looking at it just from the surface makes some sense. Even I think what Scott was mentioning too, those sayings come from traditional Chinese sayings too.
Oh, Chinese have the sayings too. I wonder where that comes from, right? Wonder. Like, do unto others. This is often called the golden rule of life. Believe it or not, other religions even have this type. Chinese from Confucianism have adopted a version, if you will, of the golden rule. I want to show you that even for the Jews, they had a phrase like this that was very popular that they also said, you know, in the same way, sums up all of God's command. What Jesus is saying, this is like a summary or the essence, if you will, of the law and the prophets. So the law and the prophets is pretty much what makes up the Old Testament. And Jesus is saying, this is like the essence of all of that. Wow, that puts a lot of weight on this one statement. Do unto others as you would want done unto you. King James Version. This very popular line by one of the Jewish rabbis went this way. What is hateful to yourself, do not do to someone else. Similar is this saying? Does it change it a bit? Not sure. Look at these other religions, and I've found the exact type of quotes. In Confucianism, okay, this is anyone with an Asian heritage, you have this affecting your worldview. Do not do to others what you do not want them to do to you. That's in his analysis. Hinduism, okay, so the Indians, or anyone of Hindu religion. This is the sum of duty. Again, similar concept, right? This is the summation of your duty. Do not do to others what would cause pain if it was done to you. Same thing, a little bit different. Not sure. Buddhism, okay? Those of us who also have parents of Asian descent, particularly Taiwan, right? You're gonna have a heavy dose of this. Hurt not others in ways that yourself would find hurtful. Is that about the same? Similar? Is it different? I want you to think about this. Are these different from what Jesus says? Are they different? Think about that for a moment. Let's have some dialogue on that. Jesus says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. And we had our list, by the way. Right? I mean, think about it. If you want me to rewind real quick, this is why I went through that exercise with you. Right? We love how certain people treat us, how they do to us. Does that make sense? Is that English? No. How they do unto us. Is that proper? Kevin's like, yes, it's okay. Dude, my English, not so well. Okay. So think about these things. And we love how people treat us. People who are really open and honest. People who are loyal. People who love, trust, respect, who are active in your life, reliable. Two-way communicators. They're active listeners. We do not like it when people are, you know, never really trying to know you. They're inconsistent. People who are always comparing. People who are racist, self-centered. Not genuine. They're like, you know, they're nice, but they're not real with you, is what someone said. I'm trying to get something out of you instead of really being a friend. People who like to hurt others verbally. People who are overly assuming, presumptuous, judgmental, closed-minded, overly critical. See, when we see what these other religions say, that is similar? Is it similar? How are they different? Even the Jewish rabbi, this very often go-to quoted statement by this rabbi of the ancient era, what is hateful to yourself, do not do to someone else. Is there any difference from what Jesus says? I'll go ahead and say that there's a little bit of similarity, but would there be any difference?
One is passive and one is active.
Ooh. One is passive, one is active. Would you explain that to my clients?
Well, I think all the other ones are, you're just withholding your actions. The other, and then I think in line with what Jesus teaches that, you know, we love with our actions. So you actually actively put yourself out there to treat others well. You embody the love with your actions.
Okay. So because all of these others, how do you pick that up in the language, Cindy?
Well, you have the do, right, instead of the do not. Mm-hmm. And I think the other one too, like, it doesn't require a heart or life change. Your person, you can just be yourself, and you just refrain.
Ooh, wow, doing bro, something. Nice.
So, if you have to act upon it, you have to be that person, right?
I love that. Good. So, yeah, that's what I was going to string you guys through, right? Because number one, in all these other sayings, the statement is stated negatively. So do not do to others what you don't want them to do to you. That's Confucianism, right? Do not do to someone what you would hate to be have done to you. These are all along those lines. It makes them, therefore, passive, is what Cindy said, passive. So you don't have to do anything. You just do nothing to others. And you'll fulfill what Hinduism says, the sum of duty, do not do. It's kind of interesting. And then Cindy added to that, then it requires no change in you. Because you can be whoever you are and you just don't do what you do not like done to yourself, to others. It's passive and it requires no change, no transformation, requires no embodiment, is what Cindy said, right? Of a love that is greater than what we could normally produce. I wonder if that is the reason why it's stated negatively, right? It cannot be presumptuous. I do not know why they would write it negatively. Perhaps, though, there is a recognition that I cannot do actively.
Yeah, in that sense, it's like easier.
Right. So it's even easier. These are, in a sense, easier than what Jesus said. Is that what you're saying, Daniel? And I don't know, I like the way Cindy said it because it requires you then to do nothing. It's just withholding. It's not doing it to someone.
No, like specifically, which is that they don't change.
No change.
You don't need to change yourself, or you don't need anyone else to change.
Right. Right. What are your thoughts? Why would what Jesus calls us to do require change or transformation? Why? That's what Cindy said. Cindy Wright. I think we can assent to that. But why?
Allow God to change us, mold us,
okay,
this way or
okay,
our way.
Okay.
In the new self.
Okay. Good. The entire Sermon on the Mount seems almost unattainable to not be angry in a sinful way. It's others to not look at a woman and have lustful thoughts, to not be shallow and external in your prayer. That the blessed ones are those who are poor in spirit, the meek. I mean, it's like, what is this? How do we do any of this? What is, how is this possible? If it wasn't for what Mabel is saying, that Jesus' whole paradigm is under the umbrella of being kingdom people is and living in a kingdom paradigm requires a kingdom transformation side. When I met with our baptism class last night, one of the main questions is, if baptism is an outward testimony of what has occurred inwardly, has anything occurred in you inwardly? And all of them shared how God has inwardly done something in their life, something that we cannot all see. There is an inward change that makes what God has called us to be or to do possible, because he has already made us who we can be. Does that make sense? It's who we are now in the power of the Spirit and in the positional relationship that we are as children of God, empowered by God himself, changed by God himself, the indicative that allows us to, quote unquote, follow the rules or live righteously, a new righteousness. So what Mabel is saying is being a kingdom person, what must be a part of that is inner transformation. So it does require change, but Cindy said it's active. So now it's embodying love. Think of what are the other things that Jesus has said about an active display, active action that fulfills love. What else has Jesus said about that?
Make an acceptance to our hearts. We need to ask for forgiveness. It's constantly active.
Mm-hmm. Love your enemies and actively pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies. What in the world? What are some of the parables that Jesus has given? What are some of the phrases that embody what Jesus has said about the way we treat other people? Do you need some stimulus?
This isn't a parable, but the one right above it, it's like, we call this a general worship too, but like, if someone makes you walk 1 mile, you can walk another mile with them.
Okay.
He stops you
again. On the other cheek. The Good Samaritan. What is the Good Samaritan telling us?
How you would live in neighborhood as yourself.
Right. Exactly. How you would wish others do unto you. If you were beaten and robbed and thrown on the side of the street in those days, and religious people literally just walk, see you and walk away. And yet the type of person, the Samaritans that were half-breeds, who would be called dogs by the religious people, the Samaritan was the one who came and helped put you on his mule and take you to a inn and pay the innkeeper to care for you and take care of you. You would want that to be done to you. whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. This is the sum, this is the essence of all of the teaching of Scripture. And yet the Jews even changed it to the passive, to the lesser, to the easier achieved. Whatever you hate to yourself, just don't do that to someone else. It requires no work for you then to reach someone else. In what ways, in what other ways could Jesus's teaching be misquoted or misused? I'm just going to help you along here. This is an extremely talkative class. So it does not say this. It does not say, whatever others do to you, do unto them. It doesn't say that. Isn't that just a minor twist to the phrase? Because we hear this more often, right? Or we think about this more often. This is more what we might call natural. Whatever others do to you, when someone does something good to you, you do it to them. When someone does something nice to you, you now do it to them. When someone now treats you in a way that surprised you, wow, that was really good, I now do it unto you. How else could this be misquoted or misused? How about this one? Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, because you will expect them to do it back to you. It's the circle of life. Like I played a little clip of The Lion King to the youth last night. The only thing wrong with the whole clip, remember who you are, is the circle of life. There is no circle of life in that sense, right? So this is a circle of life that people live under, again, I would say naturally. Hey, this is what Jesus is saying, really. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, okay, that's proper. Do that to them because you should expect them to do that back to you.
I just add, yeah, it just seems like, you're right. This, it could be so misquoted because it could be taken and perceived to how I, as a person, want it to be,
yeah. Right?
And the hardest part is to allow the spirit to activate it in such a way where it's hard.
Oh yeah, right.
All the other ways, like Cindy mentioned, it's easy to not. And if you think about all of those other religions, it just reminds me of those shows you would see. They're always in the mountain somewhere because they retreat.
Right.
Rather than engaging,
right.
Which is what the Holy Spirit wants
right,
to do,
right, right.
They retreat.
Yes.
Because
yes.
It's easier to not
yes.
than to do.
Yes.
And to do the hard part.
Right. If you are by yourself in a straw hut eating the little fish and shrimp that you catch from the fresh river stream, and all day you're by yourself, or you're in a little compound with 10 other people in their own hut most of the day, man, that's a pretty tranquil life. And you don't have to cook for others. You don't have to do anything. You just take care of your business. And wow, there's peace.
And then in essence, you're fulfilling that.
You're fulfilling all these other things, right? I mean, you're fulfilling this. I'm not going to do anything to you, and I'll fulfill this. I don't want to cause you pain. The problem is, like you're saying, like Jesus is calling us to engage. The hardest thing to call the church to do is to call the church to be active with one another. Because when you start serving with one another, you start doing fellowship with one another, you start doing small group with another, it creates pain. And you're like, I don't like this. That person is a jerk. This is my small group leader, and they're not a good listener. My small group leader is suck. I small group sucks. I'm serving side by side with this person to accomplish something. I didn't know they looked fine from a distance when they were in their own hut. But now that we're working together on the same project, this is so annoying. And I hate people like this. Next time I will make sure to ask who's on the team. I don't want to serve with this person anymore. I will serve, but away from this person. I will not engage. I will retreat to my own hut, or I will only gather people around me that I'm comfortable with, that we flow. We flow. Let's not put the people around us that don't flow, that are jagged to me. Vex is always planning our small groups and stuff. And I think she's very wise in doing it. She avoids putting like clique groups together. Because a clique group is a group that easily gets along. A clique group naturally will be able to hang. It's when you throw in the mixture of people that's like, we're so different. This is harder. Oh man, I have to engage with the hard to engage people. Ugh. I'd rather stay in my own hut. And hey, let's just be Buddhists, dude. You know, let's just be Confucianists. Like, let's just be Asian Confucianists. So much easier. Do not do to others what you would want them to do to you. Woo! Why engage? And why is Jesus not saying whatever others do to you, do unto them? Milton, all of a sudden, treated me really nice. Oh, I'm gonna, hey, circle of life, man. It's gonna come back. That felt good. I'm gonna circle of life it back to him. Right? Peter, oh man, Peter all of a sudden did something just out of the blue for me. Whoa, that's some love, brother. Got to follow what Jesus says. He said, do it back unto him. Do good back. Pay it back. Right? And he also says, he does not say, whatever you wish that others do unto you, do also unto them. So you should expect to be done back. So now I'm being good to Milton, because I'm doing something that I would want to have done to me. So I'm doing it to him. But you know what? I'm waiting. Clock is ticking, bro. When is it coming back? When is it coming back to me? Because why is it that when I do something unto someone else that I would want done unto me, and it's not done back to me, why do I start getting irritated? Why would I treat others the way that I would wish to be treated, and it's not treated back to me that way? I'm now starting to get a little, I'm going to start ratcheting this back, this good to you business. Because I walked an extra mile with you, bro. Now when I need your help, where are you at? Where are you at? When you needed help and I had something to do, I took my schedule, I pushed it away, and I did this for you. Why don't you make any time for me? Man, I do these things for the church that no one even sees. I'm doing all this stuff. How come no one else does? I'm doing it for them. How come they don't do it for me? See, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, these concepts that Jesus teaches, we can easily manipulate them. So that we expect that as we're doing the Jesus goodness unto others, we expect it some way back to us. But Jesus doesn't say that, does he? It doesn't add, so you should expect that they will do it back, for this is the law and the prophets. Let me show you what Jesus says. Jesus says, blessed are those who make peace, for they shall be called sons of God. Prior to blessed are those who are meek, those who thirst for living righteously, those who are merciful. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for being righteous people, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Look at this. blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account, Jesus' account. And then he says this, rejoice and be glad. This word be glad is like dance for joy, hallelujah. For great is your reward in what? Where? For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus says, whatever you wish others would do to you, do it to them. Don't expect it back. In fact, they're going to come at you and attack you. They're going to come and not do good to you. Even your fellow brothers and sisters will not do good to you back. But rejoice. Jump up for joy. Woo! That's what this be glad is. Have you ever noticed that in scripture? Whenever Jesus emphasizes something, you know, it was hard for me to sit down for a long time. I'm trying to channel my inner Frank. Gets me going. Whenever scripture emphasizes something, you have to look at it again. And on another tip, whenever you find something really hard and you don't understand the scripture, there's usually a golden gem in there for your life. Okay. So whenever you see something repeated, emphatic, it's something that really you should take note of. He's not just saying, Jesus says, doesn't just say, when it doesn't come back to you, rejoice. He says, rejoice and jump up and dance a jig. That's the word be glad. You would put the word exceedingly in there in English. Be exceedingly glad when it doesn't come back, when you're being persecuted, when troubles come upon you for being kingdom people. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad when you're doing anything in my name. Yeah.
Now, I just want to add also to that verse, right? What she said is engaging. It also says something about empathy, you know, so it's whatever you wish others would do to you, right? So you start thinking about, well, if I was in that person's shoes, what would I want others to do for me? So it really gives you the opportunity to think about, hey, others,
yes.
You know, when I'm thinking about this person, what would they need? If I was in that situation,
yes.
How would I want someone to help me?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. You used two words there. You said, I can think about what it feels like to be in their shoes. So I'm thinking about others now, and I'm feeling something for them. The word is actually just do. And see, we limit ourselves to just doing. It is like the most easiest denominator that we always go to as a church is doing things. Like I set up the room. I just did it because it needs to be done. You know what? How many people in ministry just say to me, just tell me what to do, Pastor. Just tell me what to do. No, I don't want you to just do. I want you to think. I want you to feel. I want you to think about other people, and I want you to feel for other people, and you'll figure out what to do. Don't come to me and ask me what to do. So many people in ministry, just tell us what to do. No, I don't want to tell you what to do. I want you to think and feel the way Jesus wants you to think and feel. It's so much bigger, right, than just doing this. It's having sympathy, it's having empathy, it's putting myself in their shoes so that if I was in that situation, how would I be feeling? What would I need? What would I want done to me? How would I want to be treated? How would I want others to feel about me? You know what we all hate? We all hate the stupid type of pity, you know, the modern day use of pity. Like someone looks down on me, oh, you're poor. Let me help you because it must suck to meet you. Just throw some money at you. I don't think anybody wants to be treated that way. I think what they want is real biblical pity and biblical compassion, biblical mercy, biblical love. So they feel something that comes from Jesus, like real love, like you really care for me. Because we all know sometimes as a religious people, Christians, we just gotta be do-gooders. So let's just do good things to other people. You know what? Non-Christians have do-gooders. How do you feel? How does someone else feel? How did that person who was beaten and robbed feel so, felt the love of Christ coming through a Samaritan? Right, because that Samaritan in the parable is thinking, boy, if that was me, I would want someone to just nurture me back and care for me. Isn't this fascinating that Jesus is not promoting reciprocity here? In other places he may, but not here. Reciprocity is saying exchanging things with others for mutual benefit. You see right there? It says mutual benefit. All religions have an element of reciprocity. Because if I do good to you, and I expect you're going to do good to me, if I do more good to you, I know you're going to do good to me. And you know what? We're going to create peace. You get that? You see that? We're going to live in the Nancy compound in the mountains. I know that's what Nancy says. Nancy retreat. You know that? We're going to go on the Nancy retreat, live in a straw hut by ourselves for the next 10 years. And if I happen to do anything good to you, it comes back to me. We've now created peace. Jesus is not about that. That's human manufactured peace. Jesus brings peace into the most highly tensioned relationship. Jesus can bring peace among a group of people that are so not normally put together. Because there's this going on. And this is why this embodies everything. Notice that it says, so, what's another word for so? So, whatever you wish that others, what's another word for so? Therefore, that's really the word in Greek. So is therefore. Whenever you see the word therefore, you have to ask, what is it there for? Because it's referring to what was coming before it. What does verse 11 say? We studied it last week. Frank brought us to focus on it. Verse 11 says, if, what does it say? If even your earthly fathers who are evil give good gifts, right? How much more shall your heavenly Father do good? What does verse 11 say? Someone read it to me.
If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?
And we talked about this last week. We camped on this. What is good? God, if what is the goodest gift that God could give? Himself. And it is to give good, it is to be good, it is to bring good, it is to be like God himself. Therefore, if your heavenly Father only gives you what is good, therefore, whatever you wish others would do, whatever, say that word, whatever, say whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, because your Father. Or, therefore, could be there, therefore, the whole sermon. All the things, do not be angry, do not lust, do not, all these things. Don't give to others who are in need showily. Give to them so that they feel that love. Give and don't be angry. Walk that ashrama. All these things. Therefore, because your Father is so good, as Jesus is coming to the end of the sermon, Jesus is number one preacher here. Hey, let me just wrap it all up for you. Not just some things that you wish others would do. Whatever you wish others would do to you, do to them, and don't expect it back. Because if you live like this, you're gonna show something, and other people will feel something that feels very much like the love of Jesus. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning just for our time. And I don't know if I went over. I was trying so hard to squeeze into the right time, but I pray, I trust that you just are using this and speaking to us and using this sermon, Lord, that you gave for your people to be kingdom-minded and to be your kingdom people. Lord, it is so upside down. It is so, so different from anything in this world. But I think in that way, for some reason, if we live like this, people around us would be able to taste and feel and experience and see that you, God, are good. Help us to be a kingdom-minded people like that. Thank you so much for today, and I trust that you'll do your work. In Jesus' name I pray.